The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, May 1st, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, World Class Facility. Students take tour in new Brown Education Center by D-Jack Alkier. Bloomington. On Tuesday morning, 16-year-old Reese Perry was moving a 10-foot piece of drywall into place inside a room with a ceiling just over 10 feet high. When he scratched the ceiling with the drywall, his friend Isaiah Jackson, 18, started ribbing him. "That's $1 million," Jackson quipped, with an exaggerated repair cost. So it was no surprise that mere minutes later, all eyes were on Jackson as he tried to safely maneuver his piece of drywall. "Oop, that's $30,000, someone cried as he got stuck on the ceiling. The young men were part of the first group of students from the Bloomington Career Academy, formerly the Bloomington Area Career Center, to hold a class inside the Willie G. and Gloria Brown Education Center. District 87 purchased the building at 2309 East Oakland Avenue, formerly known as the Oakland Avenue Building, in 2024 for $4.5 million from State Farm with the goal of expanding pre-kindergarten services for Bloomington families and career training for students at 17 different high schools in and around McLean County. The BCA offers a variety of training in different trades and vocations, including cosmetology, certified nursing assistants, welding, culinary arts, criminal justice, automotive technology, firefighting, and EMT basics. The BCA affords students a space to try out those fields in a safe environment, yet still get real-life experience, said Bryce Hansen, director for the BCA. "There's a lot in our society, in our culture today, of what kids can't do," he said. "We can't have them do that, and we can't have them do that. So I think it's very empowering for them to come to our programs and be told, yeah, we're going to try to let you try this with safeguards and with protocols, but let's try and learn this." Tuesday's field trip for a class studying construction and trades was a chance to show them an in-progress construction site, Hansen said. "It's just a great opportunity to kind of take advantage of what's already going on in this space and, you know, give our kids an educational opportunity as well," he said. "It kind of worked out great. They just finished up a drywall unit in class, the patching and the finishing and all the other stuff," Hansen said. "So we're going to work with the contractors today to hang and finish some drywall." Jonathan Miller, a 17-year-old BCA student, said the Academy's classes are great for students who prefer to be active rather than a traditional classroom setting. "I feel like people that don't like sitting down in a classroom or whatever, like me, I like to get my hands moving. I like to be active and move around," he said. "Sometimes kids just fall asleep in a traditional classroom," Jackson said. "The opportunity to aid in the building's renovation is special for the class, too," Miller said. "It kind of holds pride," he said, "like we can come around here and it's an opportunity to help with what's happening and what we're doing for all the other programs." "That pride is important for students studying the trades, as there is a greater value being put on the trades," said Carson Durham, an architect with BLDD Architects, the firm in charge of renovations. Durham said, "Oftentimes, society looks down on students who choose to avoid college or a career in a STEM field. for young people to go into this industry and to have a space that allows them to feel great about what they're doing, to feel that they're not second-class citizens, if you will, in terms of their programs, he said. This is a flagship, world-class facility for people who are learning the trades. For Jackson, despite the comments from the peanut gallery as he worked with his piece of drywall, the atmosphere is all loving and positive, he said. It's a family, you know, because we all get along in the class, he said. That friendly relationship allows them to poke fun at each other, Miller said. We like each other. We're cool. We're good friends. For us to be able to joke around like that, people know that it's a joke. We're a good family, he said. And next we have a front page statewide story headlined, Ag Groups Celebrate Ethanol Decision. Summer Sales Good News for Illinois Farmers by Brendan Moore. Springfield. Illinois agriculture and political leaders reacted positively to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's decision to allow consumers to keep buying higher ethanol blend E15 gasoline this summer. While the move is good news for drivers hoping to save a little money at the pump and farmers who sell their corn to ethanol producers, it frustrated environmentalists concerned about potential harm to air and water quality. The emergency waiver issued by the EPA on Monday prevents retailers in most states from having to stop selling E15 gasoline on May 1st. While the waiver remains effective only through May 20th, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin signaled that he plans to keep issuing waivers through September 15th, the date when the federal government typically would allow E15 sales in all states again. Brian Duncan, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, called the move a win for Illinois farmers, noting that more than 657 million bushels of corn, or about 30% of all corn produced in the state, is used towards ethanol production. We believe year-round sales of E15 will yield significant, measurable, and noticeable economic and environmental benefits for rural, suburban, and urban residents, Duncan said. Illinois has 13 ethanol plants that produce 1.84 billion gallons per year, according to the Illinois Renewable Fuels Association. Among those plants is One Earth Energy, in the Ford County community of Gibson City. CEO Steve Kelly praised the EPA waiver in a statement, saying the company is committed to not only maximizing returns for farmers, but also enhancing economic growth in our local communities. We were pleased to see today's announcement from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, U.S. EPA, as expansion of ethanol sales through September 15th provides some needed certainty and stability for farmers, the ethanol industry, and plants like One Earth Energy and our local communities, he said. Most gasoline sold across the U.S. is blended with 10% ethanol, but 15% blends are becoming increasingly common, particularly in the Midwest, where most of the nation's corn is grown. E15 gasoline generally costs at least 10 cents a gallon less than E10 gasoline, but the EPA had previously prohibited its sales during the summer over concerns that its use during the summer driving season could increase smog. But the EPA has relaxed restrictions on E15, granting a series of short-term waivers in 2022, 2023, and 2024 to allow its sale nationwide through the summer. And last year, the EPA issued a rule allowing year-round sales in Illinois and seven other Midwestern states, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. Illinois agriculture leaders and other advocates hope for a permanent legislative solution. We urge leaders to continue advancing proposals for year-round E15, helping enhance our nation's energy independence while offering consumers a more affordable fuel option, said Duncan of the Farm Bureau. Garrett Hawkins, president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, said that corn farmers need growth in the domestic ethanol industry to boost prices and farm family profitability. We are grateful to the president and his administration for prioritizing year-round access to E15, Hawkins said. The best-case scenario for Illinois farm families is to now build on this momentum and pass higher blend legislation that will benefit all Americans, especially rural America, and prevent the need for annual emergency waivers. Trump administration officials said Monday's action will lower consumers' costs and give them more choices at the pump, while also increasing the demand for corn and reducing America's reliance on imported energy. The biofuels industry and politicians in both major parties argue that ethanol helps farmers, lowers prices at the pump, and reduces greenhouse gas because the fuel burns more cleanly than straight gasoline. High blends of biofuels help folks save money at the gas pump, reduce our dependence on foreign oil, cut carbon emissions, and support critical markets for Illinois family farmers. I'm pleased to see the Trump administration taking this step to allow the sale of E15 and ultimately provide more certainty for producers and consumers at a time when they need it most, said Representative Nikki Budzinski, Democrat of Springfield, who also called for year-round sales. But ethanol consumes about 40% of the nation's corn crop, and environmentalists argue that higher corn production leads to higher use of fertilizers that are a leading source of water pollution. Zach Pistora, Kansas lobbyist for the Sierra Club, said ethanol plants also use high amounts of water, and states like Kansas are worried about the depletion of aquifers. He said it's hypothetical to portray ethanol as environmentally friendly, and said the Trump administration should promote renewable energy, electric vehicles, public transportation, and sustainable agriculture. We need to dramatically reduce our fossil fuel dependence, but relying on corn-based ethanol doesn't put our country on the path it needs, Pistora said in an interview. And here's a sort of related story on the front page with a bunch of pictures headlined, Corn on the Curb Comes Back. Herb Eaton works in downtown Bloomington on Wednesday, April 30th, to install a tassel on the 10-foot-tall corn cob sculpture he created in 2000 using wood, fiberglass, canvas, stainless steel, and hemp. The piece was originally created for Bloomington's 150th anniversary, along with some 28 other corn cob sculptures decorated by local artists, placed around town for display, and eventually auctioned off. A Creative Catalyst grant from the Illinois Arts Council made it possible to restore Eaton's work, and it is now part of the McLean County Museum of History's collection. The sculpture will be displayed on the southwest lawn of the museum until November, when the Livingston's department store Santa will replace it. The idea for the work, called Star-Crossed Pollinators, came as Eaton was playing for the Heartland Jazz Orchestra, which at that time was performing Star-Crossed Lovers by Duke Ellington. And here's a local story headlined, Tuition Rising at State Universities, Administrators Hoping for a New Funding Formula. by Bridget Fox. Springfield. The cost to attend state universities has been rising, and some institutions have said they'll have to continue pushing the brunt of state budget shortfalls onto students and families if there isn't a change. Data from the Illinois Board of Higher Education, which oversees public universities, shows university income has had to make up for the steady loss of funding from the state since around fiscal year 2009 as compared to inflation. Since that point, state investment hasn't kept up with inflation, and tuition and fees have risen steadily, despite the fact that Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration has regularly increased higher education funding. The fiscal year 2026 proposed budget includes a 3% increase for higher education in the general fund for operating costs, which is about the same as the rate of inflation. The cost of tuition and fees for statewide undergraduates, on average, has risen 10% higher since fiscal year 2009 than if it had simply kept pace with inflation. For graduate students, that discrepancy is 16%. The University of Illinois Chicago is the only school that has seen tuition and fees for both graduate and undergraduate students grow more slowly than inflation. Administrators from many of the state's universities have said they're holding out hope that a new funding formula, contained in Senate Bill 13 and House Bill 1581, will alleviate some financial burden. The formula, as it is currently proposed, would use data from the Illinois Board of Higher Education to determine how much money public universities would need on a per-student basis. University officials said the current system for allocating funds to universities isn't quite as clear about determining why one university gets more funding than any other. During a Senate appropriations hearing last week, Senator Michael Halpin, Democrat of Rock Island, and Northern Illinois University President Lisa Freeman each supported a data-based funding formula over the current method. Administrators for almost every public state university who have spoken to the same committee have said they need to keep asking for more money than what the governor proposed in order to fend off tuition and fee increases. We understand funds are more constrictive this year than in the recent past, said Eastern Illinois University President Jay Gattrell during the committee meeting. That said, we do have bills to pay, and we only have two real sources of revenue: state appropriations, which cover roughly one-third of our operating costs, and student tuition and fees, which cover the remaining two-thirds. During fiscal year 2003, that breakdown was flipped. The state covered more than two-thirds of universities' operating costs. No university really wants to increase tuition cost, said Corey Bradford, interim president of Governor State University, in an interview. We do it in order to balance our budgets. The proposed funding formula hasn't made its way through either chamber yet, though legislators generally have ways of moving major legislation beyond stated bill deadlines up until end of May adjournment. If it doesn't move, universities will continue being appropriated funds by standards set from years past. Even if there are differences in dollars per FTE, full-time equivalency student, after we were to implement this formula, at least those differences would be grounded in this data in the program, Halpin said. Right now, we have these discrepancies, but there's not necessarily a hard data point or set of data points to justify it. MAP grants. In his February budget plan, Pritzker proposed increased funding of $10 million for monetary award program grants for students to use toward tuition and fees, matching the same increase he made for the previous year's budget. MAP grants can go to any student who's eligible for financial aid across the state. Pritzker's proposed increase would make the new MAP grants pool total $721.6 million, up from $400 million when he was first elected in 2019. However, MAP grants don't directly fund universities the same way money from the general fund does. MAP goes to all colleges, Bradford said. Community colleges, private colleges, it doesn't all come to public universities. University building projects. Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet, asked every university president during recent committee hearings if their schools had received any funding for deferred maintenance projects on campus for the current fiscal year. Rose said no one has said yes yet. I think we'd like to know, before we get to next year's budget, how we're spending last year's budget, Rose said. The current budget year concludes on June 30th. Ginger Ostro, IBHE's executive director, said the board is working with universities and meeting with them and the Illinois Capital Development Board to maintain lists about deferred maintenance projects and make sure funding is distributed. The next local story is entitled WZND Honored at State Competition. Normal. Illinois State University's student radio station, WZND, won 7 awards from the Student Illinois News Broadcasters Association competition held April 26th in Bloomington. Colleen Holden of Bridgeview, Lauren Leisure of Bourbonnais, and Luke Biondi of Mount Prospect won first place in Outstanding Hard Radio Program for their work with the Bird's Eye View episode, Artificial Intelligence. Holden also won first place for her work in Outstanding Radio Newscast. Benjamin Hudy of Mount Greenwood, Joey LeMaster of Elgin, and Julian Voss of Shorewood won first place in Outstanding Soft Radio Program for their work in the Red Zone Jordan Davis interview. Hudy, along with Liam Lyons of Evergreen Park and Everton Levy of Chicago, won first place for their work in Outstanding Radio Sports Play-by-Play. Nathan Sehak of McHenry won first place in Outstanding Radio News Reporting for his work on The Great Recession of Higher Education. Jaden Cohn of Gurnee won first place in Outstanding Radio Sports Reporting for his work on Bloomington Bison coverage. LeMaster and Cohn also received second place for their work in Outstanding Radio Sports Play-by-Play. Additionally, Leisure was awarded one of 5 INBA scholarships, the INBA Bill Miller Scholarship, for her work as WZND's News and Sports Operation Director and for her contributions to TV10, WCIA-TV, WGLT Radio, and WFAV Radio, the news release said. The next item is headlined, Normal Public Works Summer Hours Begin May 5th, by Matus Janik. Normal. Starting Monday, May 5th, Normal Public Works crews will begin working summer hours from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Residents should make sure any items for collection are placed at the curb no later than 6 a.m. on the day of collection. Self-service electronics recycling hours for McLean County residents will change to 6 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, starting Monday, May 5th. Electronics recycling is also available the first Saturday of each month, except holidays, from 8 a.m. to noon. Additional information about waste collection is available at normalil.gov/1694/garbage-recycling or by calling 309-454-9571. And here's a related item entitled Electronic Recycling Available Saturday by Matus Janik. Normal. Self-service electronics drop-off will be available for McLean County residents from 8 a.m. to noon this Saturday, May 3rd. The service is available the first Saturday of each month, as well as during regular hours from 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at Normal Public Works, 1301 Warrener Street in Normal. Regular summer hours will be weekdays 6 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. starting Monday, May 5th. Items for electronics recycling may be left at the Public Works Department building. There will be signs for where each type of item should be placed. Drop-off is not available for businesses or residents outside of McLean County. Items can include computers, monitors, electronic keyboards, televisions, scanners, fax machines, copiers, cell phones, video recorders, cameras, and more. The items do not have to work to be recycled. Items containing Freon, like mini refrigerators or dehumidifiers, will not be accepted. Visit normalil.gov/ELEC recycle for a full list of accepted items and more information. And here's another local item entitled Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive Set by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. Area letter carriers will participate in the 33rd annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive on Saturday, May 10th. National Association of Letter Carriers Branch 522 will help lead the drive in Bloomington Normal and pick up food along city routes. Postal customers are encouraged to leave non-perishable grocery items, such as food or sanitary items, in a bag by their mailbox on May 10th. Items will be given to Midwest Food Bank for distribution to local food pantries. Bags and/or cards will be delivered to mailboxes the week of the food drive to place items in. In its 33 years, the drive has collected around 1.9 billion pounds of food. For those outside of Bloomington Normal who would like to participate, visit nalc.org/food to select your state, choose a food bank, and make a contribution. All collections stay in the local community, a news release said. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for May 1st. Please stay tuned.